noticed that we've got new chairs today, so let's thank God for that. It beats sitting on those old metal chairs, amen? So we're excited about that. We're moving along. We're going to do announcements at the end, but I've got something that I'm so excited about I got to tell you guys right now, and that is that our building permits came through, and we are going to be able to start construction in here. So we're so excited about that. Thank you so much for praying. And so we're hoping to start the first week in August, and that way we can get our door cut through here. So if you have to go to the bathroom, you won't have to go in front of the stage and have to worry about that, and we can get the children's area taken care of. So we're just so thankful for the generosity of this church and all the things that we're able to do because of your generosity. Amen. And so I just wanted to share that with you, and then I'll come back up and give you some announcements at the end of the service. But right now, I don't want to take any time away from Pastor Terry, and I just want to share just something about them real quick. And I do this every time they come, but I want to tell you, these guys for me have been an amazing example of Christians in my life. And there was a time where I shared with you, I grew up in the church and I ran away from God, and I spent about 8 years running. And part of that 8 years running, how many of you know people can fake things for a while if you only see them on Sunday? You know what I'm talking about? But then if you live with somebody, you really get to see who they truly are. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You stay with family, and you have family stay over for about 3 days, and after about 3 days, it's like, all right, it's time for y'all to go home. You know what I'm talking about? I've enjoyed this, but 3 days, like Benjamin Franklin said, fish and guests start stinking after 3 days, right? And so, God, when I was a kid, I understand that, and I want to tell you, there was a time in my life where I was really being rebellious, and I was running from God when I was a teenager, and during that time, Pastor Terry and Christy lived with us. And I can tell you right now, I could point my finger at a bunch of people, and I saw a lot of hypocrisy in the church, and that was something as a teenager, hypocrisy in other people, and I didn't like that, and so I was just like, you know, man, you guys are fake, this is not real. But I can tell you one couple that I didn't see that from, and I lived with them, and I watched them, and I saw how they loved each other, and I saw how they love God, and they didn't judge me when I would come home, and you know, they've seen me in some of my worst states of my life, and they never judged me, they never treated me angrily, they loved me, they gave me the truth, they shared the gospel with me, and they kept praying for me. And thank God, like I shared with you earlier, in 1998 off the coast of Malta on the USS Wasp, the Lord broke through my rebellion and changed my heart. And these guys have a huge part to play in that, because they were praying for me and they were an example for me. So when I say I'm excited for them to be here, I really mean that. And I'm going to tell you, Pastor Terry has had a tremendous impact on my life. Just as a man of God, to watch him. He's been pastoring for, you know, a long time. He was an itinerant minister before that. He was an evangelist with the Church of God, traveling around since he's been 19 years old, I think, when you started, 18 years old. So he's been a traveling evangelist since he was 18 years old. And so it's just, he's been a tremendous blessing in my life. And I know today he's going to bring the Word of God, and it's going to touch your heart as well. So would you do me a favor? Would you stand up on your feet and give him a hand as he comes to bring the Word today?
Good morning. Good morning. You can be seated. Praise God. Yes, it's on. The green light is on. That means go, right? Well, good morning, River of Life Church. Good morning, all the guests who have come out today. Let me just commend you for being here today. I believe that you made the very best decision that you could make today. You got yourself up. You got yourself ready. You got yourself here to worship. And my, the Holy Spirit has been really, really powerful already this morning. Amen. I mean, my life has already been changed. I'm leaving here lifted up, encouraged, strengthened in the faith already. And, you know, I'm not part of that crowd that says, you know, you don't have to go to church to really follow Christ. I believe what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, that it says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but even more so as we see the day approaching, that we're to come together and encourage one another, pray with one another, hold each other accountable. So you did the right thing today, and let me just applaud you for that, commend you for that. Let me say thank you to your pastors, James and Crystal Grayson. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here to celebrate Jesus Christ and to share the Word of God with you today. I love you guys very much. You are amazing. Amen. I mean, their heart for Jesus, their heart for one, their love for one another. Let me put it that way. Their love for God, love for one another, love for this congregation here, love for missions, love for whosoever will, just exactly like Jesus was, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm excited about traveling with them this week. We're leaving Tuesday, headed to the country of Peru. Please pray for me that it's my first time out of the country. Let me just put it that way. James and Crystal. So I'm very excited. I'll be traveling with you. Of course, your pastor's there, so we're going to be traveling. And I'm telling you what, I saw on the schedule. Let me just put this out here. James sent me last week a tentative schedule of the mission trip that we're going to have to Peru. And toward the end of the week, I noticed that there was on the schedule swimming in the Amazon. And I looked at my wife, Christy, and I said, guess what I'm going to be doing that day? I'm going to be videoing saying, hi, everyone from the shoreline of Amazon. Look out there at all those idiots in the Amazon. I said, and those piranhas that are headed your way. Amen. Anyway, it's kind of ironic that I'm saying that because I'm actually preaching today about the escape from worry. Amen. So let me just lead right into my sermon today, the escape from worry. There's a reason why God wanted me to preach this today. He's preparing me and getting me ready. And my executive pastor back at my home church, he said, they brought me before the congregation Wednesday night to pray over me. As they knew that we're going to be traveling to Peru. And he said, this is what I believe the Lord is speaking to you. And he says two words, fear not. Amen. Amazing. Fear not. Praise God. And then we're going to be talking this morning about the escape from worry. So let's, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. We're going to read 10 verses of Scripture. Trust me, I will not read them slowly. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. If you do not have that translation hard copy, it's okay. We're going to have it on the screen. If you have your electronic device, you've got the YouVersion or whatever Bible app that you have, just go to Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Click on New Living Translation, and you'll be able to follow along really, really well. Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 34, the Word of God reads, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you, this is Jesus, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body and barns? For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Don't they work, or they don't work, or make their clothing? Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else you need and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name that is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for this opportunity, this wonderful privilege, the joy of being able to come together and to worship you, to honor the name that is above every name. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the change, the transformation that's going to take place in us as we hear your word. And Father God, not only do we desire to hear your word today, we desire to leave this place doing your word, going into our homes, the workplace, the community, the marketplace, and letting our light shine for you. Use us for your glory. Increase our faith today from the word of God, and we give you praise and honor and glory. And today we take all of our cares and our worries and we give them to you, and we trust you with them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So much worry in the world today. There's a lot of people that are just walking around worried about things that really don't matter. I mean, stressed out to the max, worried about this, that and the other. Worried about what's happening in the nation. Worried about what's happening in the world. Worried about each other. Worried about the other person, and they don't even know who that person is. So much worry and frustration and anger in the world. People worried about who is right and who is wrong. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said in his study one day, left it, and he was troubled in his mind. And his wife wrote him a note, and she left it in his study. And it read like this: "You have suffered through many troubles in life, most of which have never happened." I've been apprehension, concerned about things that never even took place. And I'm going to tell you this morning, regardless of who you are, we all deal with the issue of worry, anxiety, fear, apprehension, concern. Worriers experience what is called the racing mind. This is a mind that's constantly bombarded with anxious thoughts, apprehensive thoughts, thoughts that seem unstoppable. You've been there. I mean, you've just been riding along, maybe, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, here comes a negative thought. Here comes a fearful thought, a defeated thought, a negative thought. How many of you know you cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep that bird from planting a nest on your head and staying there? And that's the way it is with negative thoughts. You can't keep thoughts from coming. They're going to happen. The Bible even tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. We know that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And then when he came up out of the River Jordan, being baptized by the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. And he was tempted, he was tested by the enemy 40 days and 40 nights. If Jesus Christ was going to be tempted and tested, and the devil tried to plant negative thoughts in his minds and negative actions in his life, then it's going to happen to you and I. But thanks be unto God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Amen? Worriers experience that race in mind. It's just these anxious thoughts just seem to be just bombarding, just coming in. You can't seem to stop them. There's nothing positive. There's no positive outcome to worry. Negative outcomes of worry are increased muscle tension, upset stomach, anxiety, and depression. There's a lot of health issues that even you can relate, link back to worry. Negative thinking, being pessimist, you know, the glass is half empty instead of half full. You know what I'm talking about. Just always seeing the negative. Constant worriers. Here's another thing about worrying. If you're a constant worrier, you will suffer from low self-esteem. You won't understand your value and your worth, the very fact that you're created in the image and likeness of God, that God loves everybody. You don't have to be a worshiper of Jesus. You don't have to follow Jesus for him to love you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." How many of you know that every individual on the face of the earth today, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their nationality, regardless of the color of their skin, how many of you know that every person has value and worth because they're created in the image and likeness of God? How many of you are thankful for that today? Wouldn't it be great that if humanity could come to grips with the fact that there really isn't multiple races? There's only one race, and it's the human race. Wouldn't it be great, man? You talk about peace on earth, that would definitely be the word of God. In fact, you say, well, that's not true. Yes, it is true. Look in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, people groups. There's people groups, but there's only one race, and it's the human race. Amen. And we need to quit worrying about all that. Amen? The Greek word, let's look at the Greek word for worry. The Greek word means to be divided or inwardly distracted. The old English derivative means to choke or strangle. That's exactly what anxiety, worry, negative thinking, that's what it will do. It will choke the very life out of you. Just choke all the joy, the happiness in life that we can have. Life is short. It's like a vapor. It's here one day, it's gone the next. Even if you live to be 100 years old, that's really short compared to eternity. The scripture says that we should make the most of every opportunity, make the most of this one life that we have, and use it for the glory of God. Enjoy one another. Enjoy companionship. Enjoy fellowship. Enjoy your church family. Laughter is good like a medicine. We just need to pray and ask God to give us a revival of a spirit that's calm, cool, and collected. Amen? I mean, a spirit that's able to say, regardless of what's happening, well, glory. That's one of the things I like to say. I'm pretty known for that around my church. It's like, just keep calm and say, well, glory. Amen. Trust me, and it'll work. Regardless of what happens in your life, if it's bad, if it's negative, trust me, if you will just let that come out of your spirit, I'm going to keep calm, and I'm just going to say, well, glory anyway. Truly, it is powerful. Worry is like a rocking chair. How many like a rocking chair? I mean, I like to, Cracker Barrel has these rocking chairs out in the front. I don't even have to go inside and purchase a meal. I take advantage of the rocking chair. I mean, the other week, Christy and I were meeting for lunch at a restaurant next to the Cracker Barrel. And so I got there first. And where did I go? I went right to the rocking chairs at the Cracker Barrel, but we were not eating there. That was an opportunity. I like a rocking chair, but I don't want to live in one, because worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. To worry during the day and too sleepy to worry at night. Now, I really love how the Bible deals with the giant of worry head on. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, the scripture reads, "Watch out! Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness, and by the worries of this life." You ever wonder why people are so dull, lifeless? I think we got a little indication right here from the scripture. The worries of life will cause you to be a dull individual. No energy, no excitement, no enthusiasm. Why? Because the earth is coming to an end. Oh my gosh, and we just got to sit down and cry about it. For the believer, the world coming to an end is a wonderful thing. For the apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Jesus said that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he goes away to prepare a place for us, this is in John chapter 14, that he's going to come back and receive us unto himself. Amen. That we will be in the place that he's preparing for us. So the end is not bitter sweet for us. It's a time of excitement. As a matter of fact, you can read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul is talking about the coming of Christ. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then he says, "Comfort one another with these words." Can you say amen? So things are difficult. Things are dark. Things are hard in this earth, but guess what? They were difficult and hard when Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth, and he said, "Don't let the worries of life dull your life. Don't let that day catch you unaware." And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, here's another scripture where the Word of God, the Bible, really deals with worry head on. He says, "Give all your worries." Not 25% of your concerns, not 30% of your concerns and worries and anxiety. He said, "Give them all to me. Give them all your worries, all your cares to God." This is why, for he cares about you. Because God cares about us, we can give it all to him. Because we know that God is working all things together for our good. Because we know that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We're going to trust him with our concerns. We're going to trust him with our worries. Because our God is a big God. Satan is defeated. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. Amen. And we can overcome. Praise God. Let's talk about the only way of escape from worry. The only way of escape from worry is truly, literally, the peace of God. The peace that God gives us. Philippians chapter 4 says that the peace of God, it's just beyond our comprehension. But that's the only way of escape. The only way out, the only way to live free from worry and anxiety is trusting in the peace that God gives. As a matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah told us that God will keep us in perfect peace as our minds or our thoughts are fixed on him. Amen. You know, we sometimes worry about what people think. Someone once wrote, at age 20, we worry about what people think of us. At 40, we don't care what they think of us. At 60, we discover they haven't been thinking about us at all. We worry about the finances. We worry about income. We worry about the bills. Why can't you sleep? The wife asked her husband, who was pacing the floor at 3 a.m., wringing his hands. Honey, I borrowed $1,000 from Sam next door, and I owe it to him tomorrow, and I don't have the money. So he's pacing the floor. So his wife jumped out of bed. She flung open the window. Sam, she shouted. Sam, Sam. Finally, Sam next door, he's arousing out of his sleep. He opens the window, and he said, what is it? She said, you know the $1,000 my husband owes you? He doesn't have it. She slammed the window closed. Now, she told her husband, you go to sleep and let him worry about the money. I'm telling you. Some of us need just rest, amen? Jesus is amazing, isn't he? Amen. And he teaches us how to escape from worry. He teaches us how to enjoy the peace of mind that God has given us as a gift. It's not something we got to beg him for, something we got to work for, something we've got to persuade and convince God like he's way off somewhere and we got to convince him, please do something about this issue, situation, give me some peace. He's already given us peace. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, there is peace. In Christ, there is joy. In Christ, there is victory. In Christ, there is hope. In Christ, there is a better day. Everything is in knowing all of that answers every question. Without Christ, we have nothing. Without Christ, we know nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But with Christ, we know something. With Christ, we have everything that we need. In Christ, we can do what we need to do. Can you say amen? And Jesus teaches us how to enjoy his peace that he's given us. Here's three thoughts to consider on how to enjoy the peace that God has given us. The first one is, just simply observe God's care in creation. If you go back into the text that we read at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, you know, it talks about, Jesus said, take a look at the creation. Take a look at the birds, the plants, all the animals. They never go without. They don't have to wake up and beg and plead. You know, all their chirping and singing in the morning, it's so cheery, isn't it? You never hear a sad song. They're up singing and chirping and they're declaring the praise of God. God's creation praises him. And God always takes care of his creation. This is really known as the divine doctrine or the doctrine of divine providence. God taking care of his creation. You know, deism says that God created the world and he left it to our own devices, that he's only watching us from a distance, and that he's not really presently active and involved in creation. Deism says that, you know, God's emotionally detached himself of what happens in the earth. So he created the earth, and here you guys have it. Do what you want to with it. I could care less. There's no emotion, there's no feelings from God about what's happening in the earth. But when we read Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 29, the words of Jesus, when he said, I want you to look at creation, he's actively involved. He's taking care of it. He makes sure that we get ample rain. He makes sure that we get ample sunshine. He produces. He is doing amazing things in the creation. If we would just look and be optimists and look at what's really happening in the earth, God's providence means that God is very present and that he cares for and he watches over his creation. Amen. And you and I are a part of his creation and he's watching over us. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27, check out what it says here. It says, the eternal God is your refuge and his everlasting arms are under. Right there, He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, destroy them. That word right there, it was referring to a physical enemy back in the Old Testament time for us today. The enemy or the giant of worry. How many of you know that we're in the palm of his? Through his death, burial, and resurrection, has defeated the giant called worry. Can you say amen? And he's given us peace. And second thing I want you to consider on how we can enjoy the peace of God. The peace that he has given to us as a gift. How can we enjoy it? Because he wants us to. Second thing is here, surrender to God what you cannot control. Now, wives, don't immediately think, okay, God, here's my husband. And vice versa. But surrender to God what you cannot control. Jesus asked us, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus asked us a provocative question. He said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Is there anything good it can add? We need to realize the limitations of worry. You need to realize that worrisome attitude, mindset, that negative mindset that you have been dealing with, and look, it's not limited to a particular age. This society is, anxiety, worry, stress is wreaking havoc in our society. I mean, it doesn't take long for you just to scroll through social media. People are stressed out. People are frustrated. People are angry. People are worried. People are filled with anxiety. And it shouldn't be that way for us who call ourselves Christian. We got to be set apart, different. Amen. We need to realize the limitations of worry. Someone said what we need is a God box. We need to put our cares and worries in the God box and leave them there. We need to realize that there's people that we can't control. We need to realize there are circumstances that you simply cannot control. Only God can reach them. Only God can change the circumstance. We need to live by the philosophy in life that I can't control what you may do or say. I can only control with the help of the Holy Spirit what I do and what I say. Amen. And then I'm going to trust God with the rest of it. Amen? Amen? So the question for you is, who or what are you worrying about today? What's got you stressed out? What has got you filled with anxiety? What is it that is obstructing the view of the love of God, the care of God in your life? And you need to take that and you need to put it in the God box. Parents, what are you concerned about? What are you worried about? Put it in the God box. Trust God with it. Here's three simple lessons about worry, really quick. Three simple lessons about worry. These are very in-depth now. You ready? Worry is a waste of energy. Boy, that was so in-depth, I could hardly stand myself. Worry is a waste of time. Worry is a waste of energy. It won't pay the bills. Worry will not provide a job promotion. Worry will not restore a marriage. Worry will not control your children. Worry will not heal sickness. Worry will not make you happy. It's simply a waste of time and energy. The second lesson about worry is that it is a luxury no one can afford. Because it's a contributing factor to things like this, high blood pressure, arthritis, heart disease, and ulcers. How many of you believe that God cares about us physically as well? 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We are a spirit being. We have a soul which consists of our mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body, and God cares about all parts. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. There was a study done. You might find this interesting right here. There's a study done of 450 people who lived to be 100 years old or older and found that these people lived longer for the following reasons. They kept busy. Boy, we need some folks to get busy, don't we? They kept busy. They used moderation in all things. They got a great deal of fun out of life. They were early to bed and early up. They were free from worry and fear, especially the fear of death. And they had peaceful minds and faith in God. third lesson here about worry is, worry is contrary to the Christian life.
Amen.
It's just not the way for the believer. It's not the way for a Christian. We're faith people. We got confidence in a God who created the heavens and the earth. We've got confidence in a God that is not like humans.
Amen.
He never fails. And so it's contrary to the whole life of a Christian. You know, we don't have to walk around with a defeated worry look all the time. You know, some people got this idea that if you are a Christian, you can't have fun in life. You can't relax and learn how to laugh and enjoy your marriage, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends. I'm not talking about doing things and thinking things and saying things that we know that are clearly prohibited in God's word, but just simply enjoying life, enjoying company, enjoying each other. Enjoy getting an Alabama guy for me to walk in today and meet somebody that said, "Roll Tide." I just felt the Holy Spirit leave the building for some of us. Amen. Right here. Sorry about that. I thought it's pretty cool. I mean, it's very, you know, I wasn't expecting to meet someone that was born and raised in Alabama as I am. But nonetheless, we just need to relax and enjoy it. Amen. Enjoy life. And some people have this idea, well, you're a Christian. You got to walk around, man. You got to. I mean, they literally think Jesus walked around with this focused look. Don't nobody bother him, man. He is in the anointing, you know. People that think you can't laugh and enjoy life, there's no anointing there, amen. You don't want to know Jesus was relaxed? This is how I know that Jesus was relaxed. Jesus was the kind of person that people hated to see go, and they enjoyed seeing him come. Don't be the person that people are like, thank God they are gone. You don't want to be that kind of person, right? And if you are that kind of person, just don't say, hey, I go to River of Life. Would you like to come with me sometime? Anyway. All right. Anyway. This is how I know that Jesus enjoyed life. He enjoyed others. Is because little children would run up to him. How many know that little children, they don't run up to monsters? I mean, they don't run up to people that have this mean, intimidating look. So we don't have to walk around with this defeated, worry look. We're the last people on earth. The last thing that a worrying world needs is a worrying church.
Amen.
We are a triumphant church,
amen.
Victorious church, a winning church, an overcoming church. Can you say amen? And we don't have to walk around with a defeated, worry look. Why? Because we're not defeated and we're not worried. We're filled with victory and faith.
Amen.
Finding one of her students making faces at others on the playground, Mrs. Smith stopped to gently correct the child. Smiling sweetly, the Sunday school teacher said, "Bobby, when I was a child, I was told that if I made an ugly face, it would freeze and I would stay like that." Bobby looked up and replied, "Well, Mrs. Smith, you can't say you weren't warned." Anyway, you don't have to have a terrible look on our face, amen. Woo! He went out with glory on his face, amen. I told you I was going to tell you three things. Here's the third thing about how to enjoy the peace that God has given us. The third thing is, focus your faith on the eternal. Matthew chapter 6, 32 through 33, the Bible talks about these things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay it? Oh my God, I'm so stressed out. What if my kids fall into this? What if my kids do that? What if they don't do this? What if this happens? What if it messes up? What if the house blows up? Blah, 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 on and on and on, right? These are things that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, not believers who trust in a living God.
Amen.
The material world, yes, the material world is important. We all need food. We all need clothing. We all need housing. Style is love. We all need belonging. We all need a sense of value, but the unbeliever lifestyle is consumed with the material. Not for the believer, what does the Bible tell us to do? What did Jesus say to do? That's more important. What did Jesus say? He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. One version, King James Version said, seek first the kingdom of God. The word first is above everything else. In other words, how many knows that God's got to be first? He's got to be above everything else. God has to be above your spouse. He has to be above your children. He has to be above for pastors. He has to be above our church. God first. Because really when we take care of that relationship, how many knows then his blessing flows into all other relationships. Amen. So we seek the kingdom of God above all else and take care of worry. Because worry seeks the temporary above all else. What we need is an eternal perspective. We need to be focused on eternity. And we need to remember things that really matter. That really matter in this life. Because when you focus on eternity, it's going to change your view of wealth. You're going to realize if God has made you wealthy, he's blessed you financially with abundance, then there's a reason why God has blessed you with an abundance. It's so that he can trust you to be generous with the extra he's giving, so you can become a generous giver. And you can take care of the needs of others. You can take care of the needs of the ministry. Eternity changes our view of what's right and what's wrong. It changes our view of accountability. We live by Hebrews 9:27 that it's appointed unto man once to die, then after that the judgment. When we focus on eternity, it changes our view of that we're going to be held accountable. It changes our view of suffering in this life. How many knows that John 16:33 says, in this world, Jesus said, in this world you're going to suffer tribulation, but to be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. Romans 8:17 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Eternity, focusing on eternity, all this is temporary. Focusing on eternity changes your view of success. It's really all for the glory of God. If there's any success in our life, it's not for our glory, for us to receive a pat on the back. It's all for his glory. Amen. Because the word of God says, everything that you do, do what? Do all for the glory of God. So here is Jesus' final down-to-earth advice. You ready for it? He simply said, so don't worry about these things. Fear not, only believe. That's just down-to-earth advice right there. Just don't worry about it. Fear not, only believe. So we're to trust God. If we truly want to escape from worry, we've got to trust God. And we've got to remember this statement right here. Maybe you've heard it before. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. And there was no one there. That's the way we live. We answer everything by faith in God. And that takes care of it. If you will bow your head, maybe you're here today and I don't know. But maybe you're dealing with just a racing mind. Maybe you come in here today and your mind is consumed with fear, consumed with anxiety, you're stressed. Maybe other people know about it, but maybe you come in here and you and God are the only ones that know what's happening on the inside. On the outside, it may appear everything is okay, but on the inside, you are in turmoil. You're hurting. The enemy's been bombarding you with anxious thoughts day in and day out. You haven't been able to sleep for a while, get a good night's rest for a while. You're just so worried. The Holy Spirit wants to remind you today that there is peace in that valley for you. In that place of turmoil, in that place of pain, in that place of suffering, in that place of anxiety and stress and worry, there is an answer, and the answer is the peace of God. It is a gift, and all you've got to do is receive his gift today. Right where you sit, will you just simply lift your hands and just pray right now, and let's just give it all to him and trust him with it. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for being a very present help in the time of trouble. We thank you that we can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And right now, Father God, in our time of need, we take all of our care, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, all of our stress, all of our pain, all of our suffering, everything and anything that has been robbing us of the peace of God, we cast it on you right now. We trust you with it. God, we're going to believe that your good plan and purpose is going to be worked out in our life. We thank you that the enemy of fear, the enemy of doubt, the enemy of worry is being driven out of our life right now, and we receive your gift of peace. Peace of mind, peace in our heart, peace for the future. God, the past is gone. Tomorrow hasn't come, but we're going to trust you with our tomorrow because we know that you are in our tomorrow. So today, right now, we receive your gift of peace. We thank you for it. And God, as we go our way, as we go into the marketplace, into our homes, into our communities, let your peace flow out of us and bring peace to a troubled nation, to troubled communities, to troubled families. Use us to bring peace in the name of the Lord. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed right now, I just wonder, maybe you're here today and you don't have peace with God. What I mean is you have not received the Prince of Peace into your life as your Lord and your Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you're here today and you say, I have not confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life, I would like to, but I just haven't done it yet. But I feel compelled and drawn by the Spirit of God to give Jesus, to totally surrender my life to Him, for Him to be Lord and Savior of my life. I want to live for Him. If you're here today, right where you sit, you just simply lift your hand and say, I want the Prince of Peace to come in and be my Lord and Savior today. All you got to do is simply lift that hand up. Thank you for that hand. Are there any others today? Thank you for that hand. Any others today? You can let your hand down. If you will, would you just simply pray this prayer with me right now? Would you say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you was crucified on a cross. You were buried and raised again on the third day. I believe that you're the only way to be saved, for my sins to be forgiven. I call upon you right now to save me. Make me your own. I confess. I say with my mouth that you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Here I am. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together and give God praise for that? Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you.
Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for